Welcome to Here I Am, Lord, a weekly faith-filled program about learning to say yes to Jesus in the ordinary moments of everyday life. Join Marta Kyle as she invites you to grow in faith, recognize God's voice in daily life, and discover simple ways to follow Christ more faithfully each day.
Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Hello. Yes. What a beautiful day.
Beautiful day. This is Marta Kyle.
And Tara Wolfington.
And we are presenting you with Here I Am, Lord, the 1 hour show. And we're excited to be back with you. Thank you for tuning in. We're excited that it's a beautiful spring day and that the weather is sunny.
Sunny sunshine.
Sunny sunshine. It's
awesome. We've all been waiting for this.
Yeah. And it's been a beautiful week. I never seem to dress right for the weather. Whenever it's warm outside, I dress like it's cold. And yesterday, I froze my tail off because I wanted to be springy, and I dress like spring. I never get it right. Spring's like that, isn't it?
It is.
It's hard to see, figure out what the weather is. It might be cold in the morning, and then by the afternoon, you're hot. It's a tricky season, that spring.
It's tricky, like this computer that I can never quite
boot
up just right.
Tara's struggling with
the computer. I'm really messing things up over here.
Yeah. And we will ask before we get into our program today that we have callers to call in, and we're going to test the phone lines to make sure that they're working properly. So if you have anything to share with us about this this week, any fun, any beautiful faith-filled experiences. Yesterday was the Feast of the Annunciation. That was beautiful.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Such a great, great day. It started it all.
Yeah. It's a very peaceful day. It's a lovely day to remember Our Lady's yes, especially during this time of Lent. She brought us the Savior of the world, and without her yes, it would be a different story, wouldn't it? It
would be a different story.
So we thank Our Lady online for her yes, and we thank Jesus for staying with us and through all these years, right? All these generations and all these from the beginning to the end of time, he will be with us.
Yeah, and we always stray. So yeah. Marta found the perfect prayer to start us off today.
Yeah. Yes, we're going to start today's prayer with Padre Pio, and it's his Stay With Me, Lord Jesus prayer. And I thought it was fitting. It ties into the gospel a little bit, and it ties into the fact that from Abraham all the way through, I mean, from the beginning of time, probably from Adam and Eve, we, whenever the Lord might even take his eyes off us for even like a little second, we're likely to fall. So that's how we're going to start. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Stay with me, Lord, for it is necessary to have you present so that I do not forget you. You know how easily I abandon you. Stay with me, Lord, because I am weak and I need your strength, that I may not fall so often. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my life, and without you, I am without meaning and hope. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my light, and without you, I am in darkness. Stay with me, Lord, to show me your will. Stay with me, Lord, so that I can hear your voice and follow you. Stay with me, Lord, for I desire to love you evermore and be in your company always. Stay with me, Lord, if you wish me to always be faithful to you. Stay with me, Lord, for as poor as my soul is, I wish it to be a place of consolation for you, a dwelling for your love. Stay with me, Jesus, for it is getting late. The days are coming to a close and life is passing. Death, judgment, and eternity are drawing near. It is necessary to renew my strength so that I will not stop along the way, and for that I need you. It is getting late, and death approaches. I fear the darkness, the temptations, the dryness, the cross, the sorrows. Oh, how I need you, my Jesus, in this night of exile. It's a beautiful prayer. It goes on. Should I finish it?
Sure.
Stay with me, Jesus, because in the darkness of this life, with all its dangers, I need you. Help me to recognize you as your disciples did at the breaking of the bread, so that the Eucharistic communion be the light which disperses the darkness, the power which sustains me, the unique joy of my heart. Stay with me, Lord, because at the hour of my death, I want to be one with you, and if not by communion, at least by your grace and love. Stay with me, Jesus. I do not ask for divine consolations because I do not deserve them, but I only ask for the gift of your presence. Oh, yes, I ask this of you. Stay with me, Lord, for I seek you alone, your love, your grace, your will, your heart, your spirit, because I love you, and I ask for no other reward but to love you more and more with a strong and active love. Grant that I may love you with all my heart while on earth, so that I can continue to love you perfectly throughout all eternity. Dear Jesus, amen.
Beautiful.
That's a beautiful prayer.
Yeah.
I thought it was very fitting for Lent.
Yes. And if you want to look it up, it's Stay With Me, Jesus, mm-hmm. by Padre Pio.
By Padre Pio.
So we wanted to test the lines, and Wendy's
on. Oh, yes, we have Wendy. Okay, on Wendy's on line one. Thank you, Wendy. Here we go. Hello? How are you? So, can you hear us? Okay, I can barely hear you.
Right.
So, what'd you think of the Stay With Me prayer?
That was beautiful. That was really beautiful.
Yes, it's... Oh, you're kidding.
Look at see that. How the Lord works.
Yeah. See, he wanted that prayer.
He wanted that message out there.
Yeah.
That was confirmation.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of that going on today.
Yeah, it's
just everything we're doing is
being confirmed.
Confirmation all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last week...
Yeah, you're coming in
very
scratchy.
Yeah, it's coming in very scratchy. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All
well,
right.
We certainly
well, stay
appreciate
tuned in case
you
we need you to call
in.
Back in 5 minutes.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay.
Thanks, Wendy.
Wendy. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. There you go.
There we go. So,
testing. 1, 2, 3.
How about that confirmation? She was singing the song, Stay With Me, Jesus. That's unbelievable.
I know.
I love it.
That's beautiful.
God has certainly been active in giving us confirmations. We need that little boost of confidence. And last week we were discussing what we were going to talk about on today's show. And for some reason we both agreed that the I am statements, the 7 I am statements that are in John, is what we were going to cover this week. And unbeknownst to us, Kathleen actually started speaking
on Tuesday
about the I am statements.
Right. Saying randomly that she wasn't really sure why.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that was unbelievable. So we thought, well, there it is. There's the confirmation the Lord wants us to talk about, the I am stations. And naturally, we'll share the gospel with you. But in the meantime, since yesterday was the Annunciation, another little confirmation we found in the Magnificat was a beautiful prayer, just a beautiful little reflection
right.
on the Annunciation.
Right, it was their little opening words for the beginning of Mass yesterday. And I'll read it for you because it's so beautiful. The Annunciation heralds the beginning of our salvation, for at Mary's obedient fiat, humanity is wedded to divinity. The Savior our heart cries out for became flesh in Mary's womb, and in conceiving the divine Son in her womb, Mary became the mother of God and the mother of all believers. When we repeat the words of the angel by praying the Hail Mary, Our Lady intercedes for us, that the word of God might germinate in our soul. May we always respond to the Lord in faith and obedience, May we always respond to the Lord in faith and obedience, being ready to say, Here I am, Lord, I have come to do your will.
Woohoo! That's a shout out to Kathleen, she said. Put your hands up and say, here I am, Lord.
And that's the name of the program.
And that is the name of the program. That's why we named the program. Here I am, Lord.
So there it is again. We keep getting confirmations about the things that we're looking at.
Absolutely. So that's a beautiful reflection. I hope yesterday was a beautiful day for you and today's continuation of a beautiful day. And like we stated earlier, we are going to talk about those I am statements, because even with the stay with me, Lord prayer, Padre Pio had a keen awareness and he was teaching us all the important things that the Lord does for him, right?
Yeah.
He's light in the darkness. He needs him present to show him his will. I mean, we rely on the Lord for everything. Stay with me, Lord, so I can hear your voice and follow you. Stay with me, for I desire to love you evermore. These are all really profound statements. And if we were able to stay with this prayer and stay in this prayer actively and rely on the Lord the way Padre Pio was united to him and relied on him, we would all be living pretty good lives, right?
Yeah. I like the part where he says, you know how easily I abandon you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we all talk about our Catholic faith a lot. Most of the listeners here, and Marta and I.
Mm-hmm.
And then how fast can we get off on a tangent?
Yes. Right.
Or we need to say, stay with me, Lord.
Stay with me, Lord. Otherwise, I'll be back in confession. Yeah. So that's a beautiful prayer. We love Padre Pio. And if
we were just at the shrine, what's happening up there?
Yeah,
at the shrine?
We were just at the shrine. Yep.
What's happening?
We
up
went
there.
Oh, they're painting and doing some repairs, and they're probably getting ready for they're having a Good Friday service up at Padre Pio and Bartow from, I think it's like 8:30 to 4 or something. They're having a Good Friday, a whole service of Mass and confessions.
That would be a beautiful place to go.
That would be a beautiful place to go.
And it would fulfill. They're going to say our prayer.
Maybe. And it would fulfill the year of St. Francis visiting
right,
a site.
Right, because
they're one of the sites.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's right. What's going on in Padre Pio world.
Amazing.
Yeah. And today we're going to talk about the gospel. And if they had this attitude, if the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders had this attitude toward Christ and had understood who he was, it would certainly be a different story too.
Right.
So thank God for Our Lady's yes, and thank God for our Lord's forgiveness and for his mercy that lasts from every generation, right? From generation to generation.
Yeah. And usually we do the gospel second,
mm-hmm.
but today, since it's such a confirmation of the show, we were going to do the gospel first.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. So go ahead. Throwing the ball.
I think I might have to break my glasses down. I was having a hard time with that last one. Mm-hmm. Okay. So today's gospel was according to John chapter 8, 51 to 59. Jesus said to the Jews, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered them, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But if it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God, you do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's a strong gospel, and there are so many ways that you can approach this gospel. There's the spiritual blindness, there's the mercy of our Lord. He tolerated all of this, hearing his humility and obedience to the Father. He stayed, you know, he tolerated this, and he hid and walked away because it wasn't yet his hour, right? He wasn't really hiding.
But he was truthful.
He was truthful.
And he was honest.
That's always my favorite line Kathleen tells us frequently. He never condemns anyone, but he convicts us. And he convicted them there.
He did.
And he said.
But he was very clear.
But he was very clear on who he was.
On who he was. He is I am.
Mm-hmm. I am who am. And that's what we hear all the way back, as far back as Moses, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the burning bush, he was revealed. I am. It was the divine meaning revealed in the Old Testament, and it was specific to the self-declaration of Jesus in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And there are actually seven I am statements in the gospel, in the Gospel of John. And so we were going to look at those statements today, because Jesus made it very clear. He didn't mince words, and there should have been no, I mean, there's even questioning today, but he just makes it so clear through he is the word, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He makes it quite clear. He's telling them. Plain, yeah, I can't make it any more simpler.
By using the word I am,
mm-hmm.
he's using what the Lord called himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, addressed himself.
And they understood that, which is why they were so incensed, right? That's why they were so angry and agitated. Yeah, so the first...
Do you want to read the seven and then we'll
We'll read the seven. So the seven that we hear in the Gospel of John, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. They are absolute I am claims that Jesus very clearly states in his teachings to the people. Mm-hmm. And he spoke in a language that all of this would have been very familiar to them, right?
Yes.
They would have understood exactly what he was talking about. Right. So if we jump into I am the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
What say you about I am the bread of life?
Well, it's interesting because Marta and I are always reading different books and trying different things. And there's this new book out. You've probably seen it. The Story of All Stories, right?
Mm-hmm. Scott Hahn.
Scott Hahn.
Helped
this gal, Emily Chapman, write it. And it's really meant more for a younger reader. But that's why we like it.
Yeah.
It breaks things down. And it starts by saying that, that when the 5,000 people were on the mountain listening to Jesus, it was right after he had just found out that John the Baptist died.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very upset. So he wanted to go somewhere and have peace.
Yep, go away to a quiet place. He got in a boat.
But when the people heard that he was in the area, they dropped everything. And before he knew it, when his quiet little ride was coming to shore, there were thousands and thousands of people, and they just kept coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, as Jesus would, made the decision that his peace, you know, his little moment would wait, and he would be a servant to his people, right, to the people. And I never knew that part of it.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't know that part of it either.
So that's why we like to read stories that are...
Yeah, so we thought we would share that with you.
Right, so we thought that was interesting, because I am the bread of life was spoken after the feeding of the 5,000 in the crowd, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so...
And he's also referring to what Moses had done for the ancestors in the desert. They ate manna in the wilderness, and yet they died, but here's the bread that comes down from heaven, and so they'll have eternal life.
Right.
And he says, I am the bread of life.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's talking about physical bread sustaining, the manna was physical bread to sustain them, but he has come down. He's the spiritual substance, right?
Yeah.
That will fulfill our longing for eternity. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. And different themes, you know, our Lord fulfills our hunger, our spiritual hunger, our physical hunger, our hunger for love, our hunger for community, our hunger for...
We hunger for everything. We hunger for everything. But that's why the prayer was so good, right? Because mm-hmm. it's Padre Pio saying, sustain me, because I go here mm-hmm. and I feel dark and I feel this, and I feel, you know, like everything we feel, mm-hmm. you know, and if we would hand it over, that's what the Lord would give you, that bread that would satisfy the human heart.
Yeah, that transformation. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's also his personal offering, right? He's not just providing bread, but he's showing us that he is the bread. He's offering us his own flesh for the life of the world. And right. obviously, the Eucharist.
And it's after he feeds them all that he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jesus promises not to reject anyone who comes to him and promises to raise them up. Even right up to the moment on the cross, right? He promised that thief when yeah. he was repentant.
And for us, till your last breath, you have to really mm-hmm. say, I'm yeah. sorry, I love you, I want you, I have nothing to offer but your mercy.
Yeah.
I tell myself all that time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Well, that even don't says forget, it. Tara, with your last breath, you say.
Yeah.
Or when you cross over, you say, I have nothing to offer but your mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that Faustina?
Well, it's even in offer. This. Yeah, it was. But it's also even in this prayer, right? In the darkness of this life with its dangers, I need you. Help me to recognize you. As the disciples did at the breaking of the bread, so the Eucharistic communion will be the light which disperses the darkness, the power which sustains me, and the unique joy of my heart.
You know, I always pray that.
You do?
Help me to recognize
yeah.
if he comes back, because you know how they say there'll be a lot of false
yes.
uh-huh. prophets and a lot of people claiming to be Jesus. And
even
say,
the elect can be
Please
fooled.
Let me see. Mm-hmm. Please let me know it's you, because, I mean, think about how hard it was for some people to believe the first time it came.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, aside from the fact that we were talking about, he had to just be a light and a peace and a calmness must have just
exuded from him.
Right. Swept over you the minute you came in his presence. I don't know how that couldn't be possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But anyway, yeah. I do pray that prayer.
That's a lovely prayer. And on that note, I am the light of the world is the second I am statement that we're going to cover. You find that in John 8:12. And that was delivered during the Feast of Tabernacles. And giant candelabras were lit going up to the temple to represent God's guidance in the wilderness.
Right.
And in a world darkened by sin and confusion, Jesus is the reliable guide. He shows us. He gives us a roadmap. He lays it out pretty clearly for us. Very mm-hmm. clearly for us. Mm-hmm. And he fulfills everything that they already knew in the Old Testament. He fulfilled every single
right.
prophecy.
And the Lord leads by light.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say the Old Testament connection was the pillar of fire?
No.
Because he led them through, in Exodus, he led them by a pillar of fire.
Mm-hmm. By night and in the cloud by day, right?
Through the dark wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously, we have a need for the light of Christ. We have a need for a spiritual light.
We're all supposed to be spiritual lights.
Yeah, be the light.
Be the light. Be the light in the darkness.
Be the light. Here I am, Lord. Go out there and be the light.
That could be another show.
Yeah. Yes, it could.
Be the light in the world, right?
Yeah. And the light covers darkness, and the Lord tells us that the darkness will never overcome the light, right? And you can leave the darkness of sin and enter into the light of truth. These are all little tidbits of information that the Lord was trying to convey to us.
Everything goes deeper than the surface statement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a little deeper dive.
Yeah.
Deeper dive into mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. And at our baptism, we're given a candle, and it's lit from the Paschal candle, and that's the symbol of Christ. Keep the light burning. Keep it.
You're part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And don't they say you're supposed to know the date that you were baptized? A lot of people, they say, if you don't know the date that you were baptized, go to your church and figure it out. Because in certain customs, they actually celebrate that day over their birthday. Instead of your birthday, you actually celebrate your day that you were baptized.
Ah, your new birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Into yeah. eternal life.
Into eternal life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like that the light is supposed to... help us not to walk in darkness, right? Mm-hmm. To see positive, to have that hope, right? To always be looking up, eyes to the sky, right? Mm-hmm.
No matter what's happening. In a world that's full of darkness today. It's full of confusion. People are lost. People are looking for the light. They're looking for answers. And the Word of God is a great place to find the answers. The Bible is a great place to find the answers. The lives of the saints are a great place to find good examples. The Lord gives us so much information. He doesn't leave us. I mean, he gave us an overabundance of information in terms of the Bible. He gives you all the answers. Mm-hmm. He gives you beautiful examples through saints. He gives us the prophets. He gives us the prophets of today, the prophets of old. I mean, if you're looking for information, it's there. And he'll speak to every different part of your personality. You could be someone who's super intellectual, and you could look to someone like a Father Spitzner, who is today's world, and he could give you the proof of God from a mathematical and a scientific point of view. So math and science actually prove the existence of God. They don't disprove the existence of God, right? Absolutely. But if you were someone who was a little more not as intellectual and you needed something a little simpler, he might give you a beautiful
example. That little book we read.
Yeah, that little book we just read. Or even like a Mother Teresa or something that's easier to comprehend, right?
Right. Sometimes it's a combination of all the above.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Even we as people are supposed to be people of the light, where not just in reading and having all this, but just in your everyday actions.
Example. Mm-hmm.
That you bring light. I was telling Marta that my neighbors are building this beautiful pool house, mm-hmm. right? It looks like a garage. You've seen them.
Yeah.
And it has the beautiful stone chimney. And all winter, I was so cold. I'd be leaving in the morning. I'd say, oh, it's so cold. And at first I was like, what are they building? You know, and I decided it was going to be my beacon of hope.
Yeah. So, that the sun will come out.
That the summer will come, because this pool house is being built. So just to be beacons of light, even if you're making light with people and having fun with people, you know.
Yeah, in your everyday encounters, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lighten the load.
Lighten it up, and you just don't know how your little smile, your little gesture, your hello, whatever it is, will actually be a great witness to them. And they might want what you have. They'd say, how is she so happy? How is she so light? How is she so...
on this cold morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All because the neighbor's building a pool house.
Yeah. What are they putting your Cheerios, sister? Yeah, so be the light. Be the light.
And here it is. Through kindness, truth, and forgiveness. That's how we reflect Christ's light in this dark world.
Mm-hmm.
We walk with him, we never walk alone in darkness.
Yes, and forgiveness is a key takeaway from that. Forgiveness is huge. It's the creme de la creme.
It's the hard one.
It is hard, but it's the most important. It's the key to freedom.
It is, and the key to healing.
Mm-hmm. And the key to healing. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we are at the bottom of the first hour, and so we're going to go to a commercial break.
When you're looking for care for a loved one to remain independent, living at home, Visiting Angels is ready to serve. Visiting Angels franchises provide the compassionate professional caregivers needed to deliver the best home care available, and you may select your caregiver before services begins. Services include bathing, dressing, errands, light housekeeping, meal preparation, and more, up to 24 hours each day. With over 500 franchised offices nationwide and 9 offices in the Delaware Valley, Visiting Angels is America's choice in senior home care. Employment opportunities in caregiving for Visiting Angels are available. When you join us at Visiting Angels, you'll receive the support needed to fulfill your goal of achieving a caring career. Call today at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-5483. Or online at visitingangels.com. each office independently owned and operated.
Be the light. Hi. Well, we're back. And I'm Marta Kyle, just in case you're just tuning in.
And I'm Tara Wolfington.
Yep, and this is Here I Am, Lord. And before we get back into our conversation about the seven I Am statements our Lord made in the Gospel of John, we're going to make some announcements here. The first one is the annual Wake Up America Dinner will be held Sunday, April 26th from 1:30 to 5:30 at the Malvern Retreat House. Mm-hmm. And happy 250th birthday, America. The theme is proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants. And that is from Leviticus. And the highlights are going to include the keynote address by Kathleen McCarthy. You get to meet the radio broadcasters. Hello, live and in person, all of them. They're wonderful. There will be a silent auction.
Always fabulous.
Drawing for raffle prizes.
Always fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And you can call the office here and talk to Maureen or register on their website. And if you wanted to be a sponsor, there's a red, white, and blue sponsorship. You can donate a basket. Otherwise, you can buy an individual ticket or ticket by a couple or reserve a table for eight. So again, please call 610-527-2906. And make your reservations for the annual Wake Up America Dinner. It's always a great event.
Great event. And it's the one of the two only fundraisers to support this radio apostolate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you love Kathleen and you love the radio apostolate. Mm-hmm. Come on out.
Yeah. It's a great day. It's great camaraderie. It's a great way to get together with everybody and get to know everybody.
Yeah.
Spend some time, if you can't make it together.
I think on the website you can even sign up to do a monthly stipend that you'd like to give
mm-hmm.
just to keep the radio station afloat.
Yeah, absolutely. This program is brought to you by you.
That's a good one. We're going to keep that one.
No, I think EWTN uses it.
Yeah, they do.
Oops. I think so. I can't remember.
We'll change the words around a little bit.
Yeah, they change it a little bit. So the next announcement is Divine Mercy Retreat. And that is also at the Malvern Retreat House. It will be held by Bishop Efron Asmelia, Reverend Stephen DeLacy, and Kathleen McCarthy. So you can go to www.divinemercyretreat.com to register. And it's the 20th anniversary of the Divine Mercy Retreat. And it focuses on growing in trust and God's infinite mercy on this grace-filled weekend. And it culminates with the Feast of Divine Mercy Sunday. I think you heard Kathleen on Tuesday encouraging everybody to come out to this event and or go to your local parish to participate in a Divine Mercy Sunday event.
Mm-hmm.
And the requirements are simple. Mass, Holy Communion, pray for the Pope, confession.
Confession.
And you will not be sorry that you participated in that.
Especially well, this is Divine days. Mercy is the Sunday that the Lord gave mm-hmm. us through St. Faustina.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted the world to know of his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So on this one day a year, Divine Mercy Sunday, not only are your sins forgiven when you go to confession, but the stain or the price you pay for that sin is also wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
So as our brother-in-law says, you're as clean as a baby.
Yep, like a brand new baptized baby. So
one day a year. You can have plenary indulgences, but this one's really, right? You have to do a little more for
mm-hmm.
those.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You have to have a firm amendment of never entering into those sins again.
Right.
And this Divine Mercy Sunday, he immerses you in his total ocean of mercy. It's a total outpouring of grace and mercy. So to not participate in that, you know.
Kind of silly.
Yeah, it just wouldn't be.
Say the prayer.
Yeah, exactly.
Print the prayer.
Print the prayer.
I mean, it's a real gift from the Lord.
It is.
Really. Once mm-hmm. a year, right after Easter.
Yeah.
Right.
And don't be afraid to go. Never be afraid of confession. Don't be afraid that you won't be welcomed warmly or that you don't belong there or anything. The church is not complete.
Or it's been too many years.
Or it's been too many years or anything like that.
Right. The priests have heard it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the whole point. It's divine mercy. It's the Divine Mercy weekend. So
a very, very special, special time.
Yeah.
Given to us by Jesus himself.
Yeah. So he loves you. And all he wants is to
be with you.
Be with you and have you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's important. And then your second opportunity, there is a 10th annual Divine Mercy Family Healing Retreat held on April 18th. It's from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And that registration, they're asking you to please register early because seats are limited. That will be with Father Timothy Christie, our very own Kathleen McCarthy. Excuse me. It will also be the Bishop Reverend Ephron Esmelia and Father Mary Okerl. I don't know how to say this. Okerl. He is the founder of the Communitas Mater Domini. He is the author of the book, God's Foot is on the World, The Millennium Reign of Christ in the King Begins. So this will also prove to be a beautiful day. And you can register by visiting their website, www.olfparish.com/event. It's a $50 registration fee and $45 if you register in advance.
So and look at the top. It says, hope, the answer to suffering.
Yeah.
Pool house. I was suffering from the cold.
That's right.
And that was my hope and that the was summer hope would come.
The summer, yes. That was our beacon of hope. The sun will someday come out.
Someday I'm going to tell my neighbor that story.
Yeah.
I'm sure how her new pool it. House got me through the winter.
Yeah. That was your beacon of hope. You never know what's going to do it for somebody, right? You just never know. Yeah. Okay. So those are all the important announcements. Please register. And
we're off.
Join us.
Yeah. Back to number three.
Yeah.
Wait, we're at the door of the gate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go for it.
So I am the gate of the sheep is number three. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is saying that he's the only legitimate access point to salvation, a relationship with God. He provides safety, freedom, and protection for those who enter through him. And the Old Testament?
Yeah.
The Old Testament connection is the entrance to the tabernacle or the gate of righteousness. Right? So in the Old Covenant, only specific people could enter God's presence. Mm-hmm. And usually the high priest had strict rituals, right? And there was only one and only one way to enter. Mm-hmm. And now Jesus is saying everyone gets to enter, but you come through him, right? Mm-hmm. And he...
Yep.
You know, when Jesus died.
Yeah. That's the way you're not getting in without him. He is the name. There's no other name under heaven or earth.
Right.
On heaven or earth, that's going to get you.
Right. He tore the curtain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that
there is
we
no.
all can go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Woo-hoo. And then back in the Old Testament, the shepherd would usually lay right in the opening. So again, Jesus always spoke to them in terms that they could understand, and he would lay in front of the gate to protect the sheep, right? Mm-hmm. And it would keep the wolves out mm-hmm. or any predators out.
Right.
And he's saying, no, I'm the gate, I'm the door. I'll keep the predators out. I'll keep you in the light. I'll keep you safe. I'll keep you protected. And I'm the way. I'm your entrance gate into heaven.
Right. And you be the sheep.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And then in life, we don't always look to Christ for our protection. We look to money. We look to our jobs. We look to our reputation. We look to, you know, whatever we think is going to help us get ahead in life, keep a roof over our heads, right? Protect the family. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we put Jesus in last place in that category when really he should be in first place in that category because he's the one that's family that prays together, stays together. He's going to protect your family. He's going to look out for you. And he will make sure that all our needs are met.
And at the last hour, he'll be there holding
your hand.
The most important hour.
The most important hour. It says it in this prayer too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the days are coming to a close and life is passing, there's death, there's judgment. Eternity is drawing near. It's necessary to renew. He is necessary to renew his strength so that he will not stop along the way. It's late and death approaches. I fear darkness, temptation, dryness, the cross, and sorrows. Jesus is the answer to all of that. He shows us the way.
And they say in the same statement that he contrasts himself by talking about the thief who comes to steal, slaughter, and destroy. And so in our lives, the thief is the addiction, the false comfort, the promises of happiness that really just lead you to emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
The wide path.
Yeah, the wide exactly.
path. Right.
Don't take the wide path.
So it's not a restriction to your freedom. It's actually a protection for your soul, which mm-hmm. is kind of what we talked about with Aisley last week.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about in your life, you kind of have to, if you want to stay on the narrow path, you have to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going into a situation that you know could take you to the wide path.
Yeah.
What's your exit route? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's your buddy? Jesus sent them out two by two. Who's your buddy who's going to help you say, okay, come on, let's go this way, you know?
Exactly.
Like mm-hmm. in anything in life.
Yeah.
Right, buddy?
Right, buddy. Keep me in the light. It's always good to have a buddy to keep you on the right path because it's so easy to fall. That's why we need the Lord, right? Padre Pio said, stay with me, Lord. That was his buddy. That was his guy. That was his...
Yeah.
He said, you know how easy it is for us to fall.
Right. Even Padre Pio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So are we on number four?
Yes. Which is, I am the good shepherd. It's John 10, 11, 14. And it just continues the imagery of the shepherd contrasting the hired hand of a devoted owner. Jesus knows his followers personally and loves them sacrificially. And unlike a leader who flees in danger, he is committed to laying down his life to protect and guide his sheep.
Right.
So, the story of the 99, right?
Yes.
Who of you, in the 99, one goes astray, the good shepherd would go after the one that went astray.
Exactly.
And that's like the prodigal son. There's so many stories that he has to back up.
And in that, you know, when the shepherd went and found the one, if it was fighting with it, would actually break. Sometimes it would break the sheep's leg.
Yeah.
And just to do it a favor.
Mm-hmm.
So it would stop straying.
Yes, exactly.
So you never know when a bowling ball's coming your way.
Exactly.
You know.
And you might think that was a disadvantage, right? Having your legs broken. But at the same time, Christ always works for the betterment of our soul, and he always does what's best for our soul.
Right.
And he's got a plan, and we have to trust his plan and stay with him. And just know that
he's the shepherd and
we're
the
sheep.
Shepherd.
Exactly. Sheep.
Bah. We're bad.
Yes.
They actually say that sheep are not the smartest animal.
Yeah, the dumbest animal.
The dumbest animal.
Mm-hmm. So there we go again.
And Christ even convicted the Pharisees of being bad shepherds, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not shepherding the people. And I feel like we even hear that sometimes today. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You lost your...
What did I do?
Off your microphone.
Oh, that's okay.
It's like a clown nose before. Anyway, oh my gosh.
It's never dull. That's the Lord keeping a little humor in it.
Jesus is the second Adam who reverses the curse of death brought by the first Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He fulfills Isaiah's prophecy that your dead shall live and their bodies shall rise by demonstrating his power over the grave.
Oh, you're talking about I am the resurrection?
Oh, did I jump?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. It was the... Everything's jumping.
It was the flying microphone.
The flying microphone cover went.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You were still on the Good Shepherd.
Okay, we're on the Good Shepherd. It's all about him. Oh, here it is. Sheep are prone to wander.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Yep. Yep. And the wolves of our time, they can be the pressure. The people that pressure us to compromise our faith, anxiety about the future, temptation to rely only on ourselves.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, in a lot of little places in your life, my daughter went away this week and I had the grandkids and she called one day and said, I'll send you a babysitter. I said, No, I don't need the babysitter. And then today, the babysitter came. Marta says, why didn't you ask her to send you a babysitter? Why didn't you ask her to send somebody all week? That's like a godsend. The young love the young. They're having so much fun out there. And I thought, well, there I go.
Yeah.
So thinking I could do it better. I didn't need any help.
Yeah.
But it was a long stretch of time. So yeah. I probably did need help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, and the youth do love the youth. She was having so much fun out there screaming and running around, and she could keep up with her. The babysitter was young, so she could keep up with the tempo and the chasing.
Are you saying I'm not young?
Well, you know.
Not as young as that babysitter.
Yeah, not as young as the babysitter. We walk when she rides her bike down the street, but the babysitter would have been running down the street while she was riding her bike, saying, like, catch me if you can, you know?
Exactly.
A little gingerbread man action.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, now we are on I Am the Resurrection and the Life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But don't forget, Jesus says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. That's critical.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me.
Mm-hmm.
And they know. So listen for the
That's
word
where Kathleen always says, if I called on the phone.
Yeah.
If one of my kids called me on the phone, I would know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have to say, who is this?
Right.
Because I know their voice. And
yeah.
They know my voice.
And they know my voice.
Yeah.
So it's important to get to know the Lord, spend time with him.
In an intimate relationship where you know it's his voice.
Yeah.
So I like the resurrection and the life. Especially that it was spoken to Martha at the graveside of her brother Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he rose Lazarus from the dead, he was showing the world while he existed that he had power over death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then Martha and Mary both basically confirmed. They said, we know, Lord. Well, they said, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. But then he went on to have conversation with, I don't know if it was Martha or Mary at that time. He talked to them both. But he's the one, I think it was Martha, had said, I know that I'll see him again. I know that he'll resurrect after,
mm-hmm.
right, on the last day.
Mm-hmm.
He will resurrect with the, when we all know that we're going to resurrect.
Right. And he brought him back for the dead, but then he, Lazarus, had to die again.
Mm-hmm.
And then was resurrected to heaven, but.
Yeah.
Jesus did not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. He is the second Adam, and he is bringing, he's putting death to, you know, he's overcoming death, like you said.
Yeah.
So he came to save us and save us from death.
I used to struggle with that. For years, I'd look at the cross and say, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Why did you have to die? Why did you have to die like that? Like, I just didn't get it. One day, you know, as the Lord does, one day.
Mm-hmm. He answered your question.
Oh, he had to die to beat death. Because the devil was doing a little dance thinking he won,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's dead, but little did he know, he had to die to go collect everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he beat death.
Yeah. And it's also the fall of Adam. And.
But he had to die to fulfill, right? To.
Yeah.
But it just took me a lot of years. I know a lot of people do that. They look at the cross and say, why?
Mm-hmm. They don't understand why he had to go through that horrible crucifixion. They don't
and
understand.
Die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even mm-hmm. the people at the bottom were saying, come down if you're God.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. he knew he had to die to conquer death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's
He's smarter than we are.
Well, and it's his divinity was uniting with humanity, right?
Right.
And he was overcoming death so that in our humanity,
so in our
we
humanity,
could be,
right,
we could unite with the divinity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did I not say that?
I don't know. It wasn't resonating with me, but I had
it.
It
all made sense up here.
Yeah,
in my head.
Through that one for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So it actually is important to sit under the cross and look up at the cross and ask him any kind of questions that you have, any concerns that you have, any fears, any doubts, any situation at all that you're going through in life, and he will answer you.
Mm-hmm.
Might be on his time, but he will answer you.
Yeah.
And it's going to come through another person, a story, a life experience, a book, scripture. There's so many ways that he answers us. But he's faithful and he's good and he will answer us.
Right.
Yeah. And if you have never read The Hours of the Passion, The 24 Hours of the Passion
mm-hmm.
by Louisa Picaretta,
mm-hmm.
I recommend you look that book up, pick up a copy, because it explains everything that was going on in Christ's heart during the entire Passion. So it's not just the physical things that we see when we go through the Stations of the Cross and we go through all of our Lenten observances. This really gives you insight into the heart of Christ, and it will definitely bring you closer to Christ and closer to Our Lady, and you'll start to understand why he was doing all these things.
Right.
And it's pretty profound. It's an amazing book. It's an amazing read, and it's, you could spend the rest of your life on that one.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then you'll really understand the depth of Christ's love and the depth of his heart and the depth of his commitment to his Father and to saving our souls.
Right. I always feel that way about the agony in the garden.
Yeah. I actually love...
It was more about his heart. What was going on, what he was feeling. Right? The agony was in. Just seeing us, what we do to ourselves and to others. Pain. And it's really caused him a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Because he loves us.
Exactly.
He didn't want to see us suffer.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Number six.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. I feel like this one's my favorite one. It just sums it all up. It says the whole thing. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And he doesn't mince words, and he means what he says, and he says what he means. And he's always, again, the Pharisees and the Jews, they understood what he was talking about in all these references because they knew the scripture. They knew very, very...
They knew the Old Testament.
They knew the Old Testament.
Inside and out.
So the tabernacle veil and the sacrificial fulfillment. The Old Testament ways to God were through the temple and through sacrifices and through law. And they were temporary, and they pointed to what they thought was a permanent solution. But Jesus replaces these by becoming the final way to the Father, the ultimate truth, God's revelation. He's the source of life, right? And it's the source of life is in the blood. For so many years, I never really understood that.
Right.
That it's the blood sacrifice. I was not understanding that. And so.
Well, when they made the animal sacrifices, they put the blood on the altar. Because blood is life.
Because blood is
blood,
life.
You can't, you can't live.
You can't live. Yeah.
And Christ has the universal blood type. Right?
Yeah.
And all the Eucharistic miracles when they test the tissue.
Yep.
It always has AB blood, which is universal and can save anyone who needs a blood transfusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that Carlo Acutis app that Mary B. created is actually amazing. And it'll give you a Eucharistic miracle of the day. And it'll give you a beautiful quote from Carlo for every day. And they're actually really beautiful. I was going to read today's, but I forgot about it. So if I look at that, you can talk about this and I'll
You'll probably have time.
Yeah.
Right. So I am the way. Jesus is not merely showing us a path. He is the path. This way involves living the gospel, following the commandments, utilizing the sacraments, which is very important because when you stay close to the sacrificial life, you actually protect yourself. You kind of surround yourself in a little bubble, if you will, right?
Yeah.
I am the truth. He's the ultimate, you know, he's God. Right?
Yeah.
He's God made
flesh. Word.
So he is the answer to the human quest for meaning and truth, right? And he frees us from sin, which is really, if you're not truthful, you really can't get at the root of any sin, and you really can't be freed from sin without truth. So truth is really important. You show the way, but you have to be brutally honest too, right? You have to have truth. And he is the life. He brings both natural and supernatural life through grace, particularly the Eucharist, where he shares his divine life with us, overcoming spiritual death.
Yeah. And imagine the depths of his generosity. And again, in the 24 hours, it explains to you his heart and how he was, and even in the Bible, he was praying. That we could be one as he and the Father are one, and that how can I leave them, Lord? How can I leave them without, they won't survive, right? So he sends us the Holy Spirit. He sends us the sacraments. He sends us his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And he promises, I will not leave you. I'll be with you to the end of time. And he sends us a zillion lifeboats to be able to take us home with him at the end of life.
Right.
And it's our responsibility. It's our. I don't know if responsibility is the right word, but well, it's our on heart. Us to. Yeah, to accept that.
Right, and if our heart's in the right place, if we're kind of trying to be in union, then we have to ask sometimes when we need help.
Yeah.
And even accept if we don't ask, if someone suggests, like the babysitter.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's right in front of our face. We don't even know we need it. And then, we push it away.
There it is.
Right.
Yeah. Today's Carlo Acutis, funny enough, it brings us full circle. It says, do not be afraid, because with the incarnation of Jesus, death becomes life, and there is no need to escape. In eternal life, something extraordinary awaits us. So that's a beautiful quote from Carlo.
Really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful quote. Be not afraid. That's how the show opened when it was the Holy Spirit was with you. It was the be not afraid talk. And that, the incarnation. And he became life to give us our life back.
Mm-hmm.
Full circle on the life theme.
I can't wait.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
All the beauty in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. We have 3 minutes here, so we might.
All right. So number 7. I am the true vine. John 15:1-5. So this is part of his final instructions to his disciples, and it's emphasizing their future relationship, right? I'm the vine. You are the branches. And you cannot survive off the vine.
Right.
There ain't no surviving without Jesus.
And there's no producing good fruit.
Yeah.
If the vine's not, if the branch is not connected to the vine, it's not nourished.
Mm-hmm. I always have this sense that when you die and you're fully enlightened, right? You're fully in the light of God. You're fully knowing that you're really going to wish, might not be a good word wish, but you're really going to wish that you spent more time with your children, with your family, with the general public, anybody, and sharing about Jesus and sharing the truth and sharing and diving into scripture, diving into the wealth of knowledge and resources that he left us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you could ever plummet them enough. I don't think you could ever exhaust them.
Not at all.
And I always think that, it's even in the gospel where the king is calling out to Lazarus. He's saying, dip your finger in the water. Please help me. I'm suffering so much.
Right.
And here, the whole time he had Lazarus at his doorstep, the whole time he had information, and he just didn't take advantage of all his opportunities to grow and share and learn and love the Lord.
Through his people,
yeah.
They always say, people say that was Jesus. You go to help someone out and...
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories of,
that was God giving you opportunity. Yes, so Jesus is the true vine. And believe it or not, we are at the hour is up. We have seconds left. So thank you for tuning in today.
Anton.
And please stay tuned for Dr. Anton Raimondo. He is up next. And he's always insightful.
Oh, we won't be here next week.
Oh, yeah, we will not be here next week.
So happy Holy Thursday.
Happy, have a great Palm Sunday. And enjoy the rest of your week. God bless.
God bless.